Hey there, everybody. It is Thursday, February 28th, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. So much ground to cover on this week's show. We must get started with our first guest. Jason Stewart is an actor, a comedian, and most certainly an agent of change. He's been on House, The Closer, My Wife and Kids, and like 130 other shows, I counted. He's been on comedy stages all over the world, and now he is here with us. Jason Stewart, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
God, it sounds impressive, and I was just about to, you know, to kill myself because I thought my career was nowhere.
Don't do that till after the interview. It's one of our house rules.
Well, I just saw the Oscars, you know, this week, so I was thinking, oh, God, another year, and I'm still not nominated.
Well, we can have you be our official commentator on the Oscars. We didn't really have a correspondent at this year's Oscars. What's your take? How gay was the Oscars this year?
Oh, well, please, Barbara Streisand, Jennifer, you know, Hudson, Adele, who's, you know, 2 minutes away from becoming a drag queen.
So you're thinking it was Kristen Chenoweth, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was so gay and so out, most of the people could have redecorated a room by looking at it.
It might have happened. We don't know. Well, we have so much ground to...
Just to let everybody know, I'm actually in my underwear right now.
We assumed.
Black Calvin Klein.
And we must say, for our listening audience, you look just fetching.
Really?
Well, shouldn't we say that for our listening audience?
Oh, I didn't know. I just thought that was wonderfully sweet of you.
I'm here to help.
I'm single once again. I broke up with my boyfriend, and, you know, we were supposed to have a date for New Year's Eve, and I texted him, so I'm still waiting and hoping.
Did you specify which year? Maybe there was not clarity on that.
Oh, honey, he's pretty, but he wasn't that dumb. I was the daddy and I had candy.
But you slowed down the car as you pulled up next to him, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
How is the dating world these days?
Oh, you know, did you ever see Nightmare on Elm Street?
I have. That's not good, Jason.
Dating. I don't know what it is. I really don't. I just want a guy who has a car and doesn't live in it. It's very hard to find a great guy in Los Angeles.
I don't know much about it. I mean, I'm a New York City guy through and through and through, so I don't know much about the L.A. lifestyle. How would you sell it to people?
It makes you sound like we all have a disco ball in our living room.
That's my assumption. And in your cars, because from what I understand, you guys have to drive everywhere.
And I hear that you all live in a closet. Everything is a closet out there. Everything is so small, and you're all stacked on top of each other, and you're all, you know, working out and walking around in Chelsea and just a little pissed off.
And a very expensive closet at that.
Oh, yeah, $3 million. And we're in the city.
In one of the main boroughs.
No one will talk to us, but we're in the city, and what does it matter?
Exactly.
I love New York. I was actually born in New York.
Were you?
Yeah, I was born in the Bronx.
The Bronx.
I spoke like this till I was 5 years old.
And then what, the dialect coach? What kicked in at five?
Yes, in Los Angeles, everybody has a dialogue coach. Once you get to grammar school, it's a dialogue coach. That's exactly what happened.
Let's talk about you. I introduced you as an actor and a comedian. Is there one word that you prefer more than others?
Job seeker.
Job seeker.
No, I mean, I not really. I mean, I'm an actor, I'm a comedian, I'm a little bit of a writer, I'm a little bit of a producer, I'm an activist, I'm a son, I'm a lover, I'm a fighter.
There you go.
I'm black, I'm white, I'm in a video.
What is it about the art of acting, the art of comedy?
I love acting, I have to say, I really do. And it's my passion, it's my roots. Comedy came a lot later, and it came out of fear.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't really ever have a desire to be a comedian, though I respect the art form. You know, I've always been a hard worker. And, you know, I didn't even know that being gay was going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I didn't talk about it. It was a different time, you know.
Right.
There were no Neils, or no Jay Lynch, no Ellen, you know, no Ricky Martin. Nobody was out.
Right.
And it was cold in those days. And I remember once I had done a special on Comedy Central. It was 1995, I think, 94, 95. And I was on one of the first specials that they did with openly gay comics. And I remember Leah Delaria saying to me, driving his car at Gay Pride Parade in Los Angeles to promote it. It said, Jason Stewart, you know, Comedy Central's out there. And she started to laugh and she said, oh God, I didn't know I had the choice to do that.
Right.
It never occurred to me. Because growing up in Los Angeles, you just didn't do that.
Right.
I mean, there was no opportunity, there were no role models. Bruce Valanche was the first person I ever saw talk about being gay and talk about show business in the same sentence. And it was shocking.
Yeah. Well, let's go back there. Let's go back there a second, because let's bring us back to the year 1993. And I was not able to find a clip of this. I tried my darndest to find a clip of you on the Geraldo show.
God, I should post it, huh?
You should post it. But word on the street is you were on the Geraldo show. What was the topic of Geraldo that day?
It was called Unconventional Comedians.
Unconventional Comedians. Who else was featured?
The show was sort of built around me at the time.
Okay.
Which was sort of cool. We had sent a press release out that I was going to come out. And I had been a moderately successful comedian and actor, very moderately, very, you know, subliminally. And not really very well known. I had done a Kindergarten Cop. I had been in, had a little part in that film.
Yeah.
And what else had I done? God, very little else. I can't remember. It was so long ago. And they did this called Unconventional Comedians, and they had Paul Mooney on, who had, was just releasing an album, and they called him the Angry Black Man Comedian. They had Sandy Church, who at the time, she since passed away, was a little person. They had Sheila Kay, who was a woman comedian, who's like my best friend, who had been nominated for Comedian of the Year, who had lost a lot of weight. They had Kathy Buckley, who was hearing impaired.
Yes, oh, I remember Kathy Buckley. Yeah.
And there were five of us on the show, and it was, what they realized is there's really no such thing as unconventional. All comedians are unconventional.
Right. Right.
I mean, that was basically it.
And did you have to prepare people beforehand and say, look, I'm going to be on the Geraldo show, FYI, I'm going to be coming out on this show?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a different time. You know, when you send out a press release, you'd have to sit by your fax machine and spend 2 or 3 hours sending the same fax out.
Right.
I put on a movie, and I my VCR, and I'd sit for hours with whatever assistant I was paying at the time.
Right.
Help me, and we'd sit, and we would just send the press release out over and over and over again.
And people tuned in, and then what do you remember about, was it taping live? What was the Geraldo show
time?
No,
no, no. They taped it a couple months ahead to go. So that
Wow.
That was sort of scary because you had to wait to see what would happen. Everything was like that.
Yeah.
When I did Star Search and I won, I remember this was in 85. It was one of the first TV things I had done as a comedian. I remember when I lost to Martin Lawrence, my second one, the first one I did, I won. And yeah. I remember thinking to myself, oh, God, I've forgotten a joke. And I think I was blank for like maybe 2 seconds, and it felt like a year.
Yeah.
Because the sets were only 2 or 3 minutes long.
Right.
I remember thinking, oh, God, and I won that year. I won the first time.
Yeah.
The second time I didn't. And I thought, oh, God, my whole career is going to be over. And of course, you know, it's just a blink of an eye.
Right.
But at that time, it seemed like such a big deal. That's on the Internet. You can see me and Martin Lawrence when I lost. You don't see the set when I won. That set is not on the net.
Do you ever wake up in the morning and say, hey, remember that time I lost to Martin Lawrence on Star Search?
Let me think. No.
Because I would lead with that when I meet new people.
He was a nice guy at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't really know him. I mean, I haven't seen him in a million years. We knew each other from the Comedy Act Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah.
So he had come to town. He was from Philadelphia, I think, or D.C. D.C., I think he was from.
Well, we have a lot of out comics on the show. It's one of our favorite groups of people to have on here. What do you have to say to those? Oh, it's Mike. You know, we love our Judy Gold, and we love everybody who's been on. What do you have to say to those up-and-coming comics who are not sure what to do their first time out?
Well, I think it's really hard to be a comedian and not talk about who you are.
Right.
As an actor, it certainly is easier. I think that now, and I'll use Anderson Cooper as an example,
mm-hmm.
when what happened is everybody knew he was gay, and all of a sudden he became the butt of jokes.
Right.
and he was no longer a serious journalist. He was a guy that people made fun of, and that's what you would think of. And then he came out. He said, hey, I'm gay. I'm happy about it, you know, next. And he did a tweet, and that was it.
And that was it, yeah.
Yeah, so and it was fine. Same thing with Jodie Foster. Now she's come out, the first movie star who ever came out, ever, two-time Academy Award-winning actress,
right.
Producer, director, you know, just extraordinary gal. And now, you know, okay, now it's next. Now we'll see what happens. And she has a big studio picture coming out next with Matt Damon,
yeah.
A science fiction film. I think it's called I can't pronounce it because I only went to public school in Los Angeles. And, you know, basically we all danced in a circle and that's how I got my diploma.
And your SAG card.
Yeah, it was an interpretive dance.
We have the assumption, it's more that New York thing, we have this assumption that, you know, that's what you get when you graduate elementary school in L.A. You get your SAG card.
It was easier to get them in those days.
Yeah.
But so many people want to have a SAG card, and they're not even in the industry. It's amazing.
Status. We love the status. But let's talk about SAG, because you have a huge impact there on SAG and on AFTRA, that you started the LGBT committee.
Yeah, I started it 7 years ago. And I created it with Duncan Crabtree Ireland, who's the head legal counsel at SAG, sort of a mentor to me.
Okay.
And this year we're doing the first ever out actor survey through the Williams Institute at UCLA that will be coming out in the summer, the results of that. And basically it's like saying that we are here, we exist. I mean, that's been a lot of the thing, is that there is no data on us. There
right.
is no information on us. We weren't a part of the contracts. We weren't a part of our language.
Right.
And that's what we created. We do a lot of outreach. We do a lot of seminars and film festivals and screenings. And we're starting to have last year we had a really big party at Outfest, which was a networking party. And my whole goal with the group is two or three things. One is the word opportunity, is to create opportunities as an actor so we can have the same availability. Like one of the kids I mentor, I remember last year when Octavia Spencer won the Oscar for The Help.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Why is everybody giving her a standing ovation?" I said, "Well, she's over 40, she's black, and she's overweight."
Yeah,
and she won an Academy Award. That in itself is
huge. Huge.
Yeah, because it just doesn't happen. This is an industry that, you know, favors a certain kind of look. If you're white and Protestant and you have that sort of patrician look, you're going to work in leads and television a lot more than people that don't.
Right.
It's just, it still is that way. I mean, if you look at television, the people that are in the most powerful positions are usually somebody who is white and looks, you know, and is heterosexual and looks a certain way, and most likely more men than women.
Right.
So there still is a lack of equal rights in so many different areas, I believe. It's not
yeah.
close to what the fabric of the country is.
It's weird, because for those of us outside of the industry, look, I have a face for radio. I do my little radio show, and that's what I do. And so, you know, outside of the industry, it's almost hard to wrap your mind around that it could still be Hollywood.
Well, one of the most successful shows on television?
Modern Family.
The heterosexual family
yeah.
are two really attractive people
right.
who are white.
Right.
The, you know, it's still a great movement that you have a gay couple on the show, you have an Hispanic woman.
Right.
You know, he's a character actor, you know. The show is fairly, you know, shows an example of a lot of different kinds of things, but yet still at the same time, they couldn't find a feminine gay guy to play the gay guy on
right.
the show. Not that Eric Stone Street is a wonderful actor,
indeed.
Brilliantly funny, but was he the best actor for the part? Was he the only one? You know, when there aren't so many gay people on TV, you know, they get to work, gay actors. The fact, it's just sort of interesting. Almost every couple on television that's gay is white, under 30, I mean under 40 rather,
mm-hmm.
under 40, white, and one of the persons is straight.
Right.
It's just sort of strange that it happens so much. Going back to Will and Grace, see, I guess what Harvey Milk said, a gay person in power, ooh, that's scary.
That's scary.
That was, you know, and I think it's just psychologically, it just seems that way a lot. I don't know why.
Right.
you know, it just seems the way it is.
Do you have those moments? We've certainly had guests on the show before, fellow out actors, who get a little twinge when they see a gay part going to a straight actor. And, you know, not that the person wasn't good.
It's not easy to get parts and things, and they don't want us to play a lot of other. I'm constantly told how wrong I am for things all the time.
Right.
That I'm not exactly what they're looking for. You know, and I'm special. You know, and I don't want to be special. I just want to work.
You just want to work.
And
yeah.
I think that... you know, I mean, you know, people could hear this as sour grapes or whatever. I don't think it's sour grapes on my part. I'm a really lucky guy. I feel very lucky. I've been able to work a lot. But I do think that, you know, in my career, it's always been that there's that a lot. You know, I've never had a big pilot season where I get to go out on all the pilots. Never had it once in my entire career where I've gone out, you know, and it's... there's a beautiful woman that lives above me, an actress in my building. She just came from, I think it's Australia or New Zealand. I can't remember. I think New Zealand.
Okay.
And she's in Zero Dark 40. She did a small part in that. And she's up for, like, she's a beautiful girl. Sort of looks like Naomi Watts or Nicole Kidman. And she's up for maybe 10, every day she's up for a different pilot.
Huh.
I've been up for one.
Right.
You know, and I think that that says something about, what we want, what kind of person. They say, well, we want to see beautiful people on TV all the time. I don't know if that's really true. I don't really know if that's really true. Television now is better than it's ever been. We have great care. We have Steve Buscemi starring in Boardwalk Empire. We have great character actors starring in things. Great, you know, interesting actors starring in, you know, Edie Falco, Nurse Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of great television that people love. You know, Lena Dunham and Girls. We have all sorts of people on television now. I think that now that porn is so available, and I say that it's so available, why do we have to worry about seeing hot people in TV shows that we can fantasize about? Why not see things that we just think are really great?
And really entertaining.
Kevin Spacey is starring in House of Cards.
Yeah, I had just started watching that.
I've got to tell you, I binge-watched it Saturday, all 13 episodes.
I'm almost there.
Oh man, and I gotta say, Robin Wright.
She is. She is. That's a far cry from the Princess Bride.
And I'm gonna say it now. Was he bisexual in the show? Is there one thing where he talks about that guy? Were you on that episode?
I'm not there yet. Don't ruin the show for me.
Well, there's no way we can't do it. It's already been released in 3 weeks. They're not up. It's your own fault.
It's my fault. And
I have to say this. I just want to make this really clear.
Please.
I'm not bitter about anything. I'm really not.
Yeah.
And I want to be. I really feel lucky and I feel blessed that I get to make my, you know, my living in this industry. But I do have to say, you know, you watch these award shows every year and you watch everything and you see, you know, who wins the awards and who gets to be, you know, the most successful and who gets and what and the way someone looks has a lot to do with it.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that shouldn't matter anymore.
And I should officially pause to not connect my next question with Kevin Spacey, but if people wanted to, that's fine. You know, then there's certainly the part that you have the straight actors who are playing gay parts, but then, you know, we do hear tale of gay actors in Hollywood who are not out, and we're not the type of show that names names.
Whenever people talk about Kevin Spacey, I think he's one of the most brilliant actors that ever lived.
There you go.
The biggest fan ever. There was an interview written in Esquire magazine, and I'm quoting it, and this Jewish writer had written about his the first thing he said is, my mom, who's Jewish and lives in Florida, he calls on the phone and says, Ma, hey, I'm interviewing Kevin Spacey. And she says, and I quote back to him, and this is written in the article, oh, the gay guy. And she says, well, how do you know he's gay? She says, I read it in the Inquirer. So he's already... We don't know whether it's true.
Nobody knows
personally.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly been, I've never heard anybody say that he was straight in the
right.
industry, ever. So I've never spoke to him. I have great regard for him. I think that he is one of the brilliant actors of our generation, up there with Sean Penn. And so, he's just so is such power. He's so good in this show. I don't think whether he's gay or straight has anything to do with anything. I don't think anybody would care.
Except that, you know, and again, not specific to Kevin Spacey, but any number of people who are not out, they certainly could serve in that role model role for youth and just people all over that maybe some other out actors aren't able to reach.
In the same way that somebody's that supports breast cancer, or the way Susan Sarandon has supported so many causes.
Indeed.
Or so many people, they say, well, then when you see someone, we think about them. Well, when I think of, when I think of Lady Gaga, you think of bullying, and you think of those kids.
Absolutely.
You think that when she starts to act, then she will, you know, do we think that that person can only play this kind of role? Then we'll see a white heterosexual person and we'll say, oh, they can do anything. But then you see Barbara Streisand and say, oh, she can only play Jews.
Right.
Because she's identified with that. But then you never say anything about Christian people and say, oh, they can only play Christians.
Right.
You know, we don't do that to other... We only do it to minorities. We don't do it to white people.
No, we don't seem to.
No, we let them do... You know, Jennifer Lawrence can play anything now because she's beautiful, white, and Christian. But if, you know, if somebody else is in that elk and they have a little something different about them, then we say, no, they can't do that. And that goes back to Jodie Foster's speech when she got on stage. I so understood the poeticness of it. She said, I came out, 100 years ago, a million years ago, to my friends and family when it was, you know, right for me, and people knew. And she said that. People were upset that she didn't say it right. Well, she was frightened.
Right.
And you could tell. She got on stage and said, I don't know whether I'm ever going to be on a stage like this again, meaning would I ever get in a Lifetime Achievement Award after I come out? What will happen? I think that's what she was saying. You know, will I ever have these opportunities? And I'm 50. You know, what will happen to a woman over 50? It seems like very few. You know, they were talking about the French actress that was nominated for Amour. You know, and, you know, in this country, where is Jenna Rollins? Where is Debbie Reynolds? Where are all the wonderful actors that we've had, you know, over a certain age that no longer get to work?
Right.
You know, we because we want all the stories to be about a certain kind of person. You know, Sally Field is now, I think, 66 or 67. You know, she's nominated for an Oscar this year. Let's see what she gets offered next year for a brilliant performance that just sort of touched me to the bone. Her and Tommy Lee Jones were my favorite parts. I mean, when someone's over 40, I think it's when they start to do their best work.
Right. And you look at some of the other categories, getting back to the Oscars, nobody bats an eye when in some of the male categories, actors are over the age of 50. It's not even
a
story.
He's doing it for, you know, forever. Tommy Lee Jones is finally falling out of leading roles, and he's like probably 65, 70.
Yeah.
You know, Gene Hackman worked till he was 80.
Right.
You know, almost. You know, Streisand and Bette Midler just came back in both sort of flossy kind of roles. I mean, Bex was very, very, you know, basically a supporting role. You know, Streisand certainly was a mom role in a sweeter film. You know, both did well at the box office. Hers made around 35, 40, and Bex did really well. I think it was around $80 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a major hit. And Streisand's did respectively and probably will be doing even better on cable and DVD and everything. So I think that these people are viable box office people still.
And we got to keep an eye out, see how people's careers are affected. You're traveling around. You're doing this presentation called Coming Out in Hollywood.
I do that occasionally in colleges and Fortune 500 companies. I speak about being openly gay in the workplace. But I'm doing my stand-up show at Martini's Above 4th in San Diego tonight.
Look at that.
28th. So if you live in San Diego, please come to the show. I've got a lesbian comedian open for me, Sarah Burnford, and a little straight boy that I've been mentoring named Paul Alaya. So that's happening. And then I'm on the 8th of March, I will be in Florida at this really big, at the Parker something. And it's on my website.
We can look at that.
Person. We're co-headlining there for Florida Gay Pride. It's a big theater. We're doing a big show out there. And then I will be in Vegas in April, and I'll be doing a benefit for suicide in May in Cincinnati. So if anybody wants to know more about me, go to jasonstewart.com, S-T-U-A-R-T. You know, all my social media is there. Like me, taste me, lick me, tweet me, you know, everything.
I was going to say, after you said like me, I was going to cut in and say we already do, but then you added all those other things. And we do those as well. We do those as well, especially because, again, look how fetching he looks in those briefs right now, folks.
That's for my comedy album. That's a long time ago. That's literally 10 years ago. I'm a little beefier now.
We just say there's a little bit more of you to love.
I've been working out more. I got a little bigger. There I was a little more lean. But here I've just been working out a lot as I've gotten older. I don't know. I guess that's what us old daddies do.
Can we help you at all with the dating? Is there anything you want to put out there that we can help hook you up with somebody?
Yeah. I live in Los Angeles. If there's a good guy out there that has a car and a job, you know, wants an old daddy like me, you know, please call me before I'm dead. Really easy to get a hold of. I answer all my own, you know, Facebook stuff. I also have a radio show on Radio Titans called Name Dropping with Jason Stewart.
Nice.
Every Tuesday between 12 and 2. So please tune in, and you can watch all the shows by going to any archive shows, probably same as you, by going to my website. There's a little button called Radio Show.
Nice.
And I've got around 6 movies coming out in the next year, 6 indie films.
You're busy.
You're trying.
You're busy. Now, you have to know, Jason, that you are, without question, a trailblazer. You know,
That's very kind. I get very touched when people say that, especially from another gay man. It means a lot to me.
No, it's without
it really
question.
Does.
Without question.
I don't always feel it, I have to say. I don't always feel everything that happens because it happens so slow.
Yeah.
And the road is sometimes lonely and hard. And I've been more honest about that lately. I used to never want to say anything that was, you know, to say anything. But it is hard. It is, you know, I always say this is my 20th year that I'm celebrating now. And the question is when you break the ground, do you get to walk on it?
Right.
Years ago, people who broke ground did not get to walk on it. I'd like to be able to walk on it. I'd like to be able to still do that one role that identifies you in a film or a television show or a theater that, you know, that something that identifies you and moves you into the next level.
Yeah, well, we want nothing but the best for you. We really, uh-huh. I mean, what you have done for the whole community, we don't always trace lines back to, oh, this result came because this person did this. And we all play, you know, we all play our part, but you really did play a huge role in everything that people are experiencing in Hollywood right now and all of our brothers and sisters who are living honestly.
Very kind of you to say. I mean, I do believe that I stand on the shoulders of these other people. You know, I stand on the shoulders of people like, you know, Harvey Milk politically.
Right.
You know, Bruce Valanche, Kate Clinton, Robin Tyler, you know,
oh, yeah.
Michael Greer, Michael Kearns. I mean, these are people who, you know, Harvey Fierstein or Fierstein, people who came out as actors and comedians and singers, you know, way, way before I did.
Right.
And when it was really, I mean, I'm in like the second group of people that came out before the big famous ones.
You know, well, there will be a third group and a fourth group, and we will trace this progress back in part to you, sir.
Yeah. Well, it seems like now people don't really come out. They just sort of say, oh yeah.
By the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. And,
yeah.
Now what I'm hoping is when things are cast or jobs are booked, you know, that becomes, oh yeah, that person's just gay, you know.
Right.
Oh yeah, she's also Jewish. Oh yeah, she's also black. Oh, he's also Hispanic or Latino or Asian or American Indian or, you know, from Bollywood. Anything, you know, that becomes just another piece.
Right. Right.
Rather than it in the same way that white heterosexual Christian people, you know, men specifically, get to be everywhere and everything.
That's what we want. That's what we want for everybody. Folks, you got to stroll on over to jasonstewart.com. We will certainly link to it. Go see him live. This is a funny, funny, entertaining man. Jason Stewart, what a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. I so appreciate you taking the time and interviewing me. If you come to L.A., look me up.
Will do. Will do. Thanks, Jason.
Take care.
All right, folks, and we are back as promised, and I always keep my promises. Hello, Jody.
Hi, Ken.
We haven't talked about the news in a while.
No, we haven't.
A lot about gay marriage in this Ooh. Week's news. We did say that we would follow up because on last week's show, we were talking about, sometimes I say we.
Yeah.
It was me. I was talking about the possibility of President Obama issuing some sort of statement about gay marriage. He did indeed issue a statement about gay marriage and is urging the Supreme Court to legalize gay marriage and end the discrimination. You're gay married.
Yeah, I am.
Have you been following gay marriage?
Well, I've been following my gay marriage.
What are the big news? Did President Obama comment on your gay marriage? Has he called you? Has he...
No.
Inserted himself into your relations?
No, not in the slightest.
Is there, what's the news wires on your gay marriage these days that you've been following? Anything exciting?
Let's see. Oh, there was a lot of baking that happened in our household.
Emotionally?
No.
Actual
baking?
Like
actual baking.
Okay, that's fine. Any Swedish treats?
No, except that they were made by someone with Swedish heritage.
Okay.
So they could
by
be
definition.
Considered.
By definition. Yeah. And for folks who need a good recipe, you can write to Jody at thisshowissogay.com and get her lovely wife's recipe for Lufthansa. It's very enjoyable. Lufthansa. Republicans also have signed a legal brief. It's all about gay marriage right now. Dozens of prominent Republicans, including top advisors to former President George W. Bush. He was our last president before President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Four former governors and two members of Congress, they've all signed a legal brief arguing that gay people have a constitutional right to marry, a position that amounts to a direct challenge to Speaker John Boehner and reflects the civil war in the party since the November election. It's an untenable position at this point to be out there saying gay marriage bad.
Yeah, well, because it's just sort of ludicrous.
The tide is a-turning.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's in the U.S. In Russia, Russian foreign minister has defended a bill that's now pending in the Russian parliament, and if adopted, will target the gay community. Russia's lower house of parliament on January 25th, which was, 2 days ago, voted to support a bill that makes public events and dissemination of information about the LGBT community to minors punishable by fines up to $16,000. Sergey Lavrov said Tuesday that Russia, quote, has no international obligations to allow propaganda of homosexuality. There you go.
Wow.
So don't be disseminating that. All right, so I want to read this to you.
Okay.
And I'm a little nervous about this because I feel like I'm slandering someone and I don't really want to do that.
Okay.
So what happens is over at kenatthishowsogay.com, I often get emails, pitches from agents saying, have this person on your show. And we've actually had just a ton of guests come from that. And I love it. And I feel like it always comes right when a guest cancels for the next show when I don't have someone. Mm-hmm. And then an agent writes me and says, you should have this person. And it just comes at right time. And that actually happened for this week's show. So Jason Stewart, who was on the show earlier, that came from someone writing me and saying, oh, you should have Jason Stewart on the show. So often, I should say, this is the big umbrella, it often works out.
Okay.
One of the pitches that I get with some frequency, one type of pitch that I get with some frequency is for authors.
Uh-huh.
And so I have this new rule where I read the book before I book the person.
Which is a good idea.
Because I've paid for that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not naming any names, but I read a really bad book. And then I had to interview the person. And it sounded, if you listen to the interview, like I adored the book.
Oh.
But it was on that show that I made. And I won't say which one, but I don't think, the fun part is I don't think anyone can even tell which episode it was.
Right.
But know that for one of the episodes, I hated the book.
Uh-huh.
Most of them I liked, though. So kudos. So this was the synopsis of the book that I was sent.
Okay.
So they said, interview this guy, and this is the synopsis of the book.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Robert Westfall's life is falling apart, everywhere but in math class. That's the one place where problems always have a solution. But in the world beyond high school, his father is terminally ill, his mother is squabbling with his interfering aunts, his boyfriend is unsupportive, and the career path that's been planned for him feels less appealing by the day.
Okay,
so he's having some problems there, Robert Westfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Robert's math teacher, Andrew McNeils, watches his best student floundering, wary of crossing the line between professional and personal. Okay, I'm getting a little nervous as I'm reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Gradually, Andrew becomes Robert's friend, then his confidant. As the year progresses, their relationship in school and out of it deepens and changes. And as hard as he tries to resist, Andrew knows that he and Robert are edging into territory that holds incalculable risks for both of them. I have a lot that I want to say. So I can say, because obviously people could Google. This is a book by J.H. Trumbull,
yeah.
And he's the author of the acclaimed book Don't Let Me Go. And it says, author J.H. Trumbull, author of the acclaimed book Don't Let Me Go, blends controversial subject matter, a forbidden love that would otherwise be legal. With beautiful storytelling, wit, and immense humanity in this deeply honest story of love and unexpected connection. So, a forbidden love that would otherwise be legal.
Where? Not here.
So, let's assume that... Did I say what grade he's in? Do we know?
No, but...
But, so let's go with that he's a senior.
Okay.
So, he could be up to 19.
Uh-huh. It's still not good and inappropriate and stuff. I don't care what gender they are. I don't care. It's not okay.
Right?
It's an abuse of power.
I don't like it.
It's an abuse of power.
It would not otherwise be legal.
It
would be legal if one weren't a teacher and the other one a student. So in that otherwise, yes, legal.
So the book
is called Where You Are.
Yeah.
Where You Are. And the little subheader.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I can't. I feel really bad. And maybe we'll talk about whether I should have J.H. Trumbull on the show. The subheader.
Yeah.
So Where You Are.
Yeah.
And then in small script, some rules are worth breaking.
No. That's not okay.
So should I have J.H. Trumbull on the show? And if I did, this would be one of those where I wouldn't read the book. I would actually expressly not read the book because I want to have a conversation not even about the beautiful storytelling and the wit,
but about
the potential, you know, problematic aspects of this. So, and then there are reviews,
okay?
I'm not leaving this topic because I'm for some reason obsessed with this.
Well, it's a huge deal.
Instinct Magazine gave it 4 stars. I don't know what Instinct Magazine is.
Never heard of it.
Quote, male-male student-teacher relationships are always explosive subject matter. Trumbull makes the guy's inherent longing for each other palpable. So that's from Instinct Magazine. DearAuthor.com, quote, J.H. Trumbull, author of the acclaimed Don't Let Me Go, explores a controversial subject with extraordinary sensitivity and grace, creating a deeply human and honest story of love, longing, and unexpected connection. RT Book Reviews gave it 4.5 stars. They say Trumbull manages to not only thoroughly craft the story through beautiful writing, but through well-developed characters you can't help but root for. I'm not rooting for the teacher.
Again,
I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
I'm not rooting for the teacher.
Yeah. No.
Further, it's a must for anyone who believes in real and true love that knows no boundaries of sex or age. And I think this is so... I have to tell you... If I were anti-gay, and I should say here, I'm not.
Yeah.
Although someone accused me of that last week, and we can talk about that as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
If I were anti-gay, I would pick up a copy of Where You Are by J.H. Trumbull and say, oh, look.
Yeah, corruption in the schools,
trying to convert our youth. What we were worried about.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the question. Do I contact... which I'm sure in a heartbeat I can get J.H. Trumbull on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Or at this point, has that ship sailed? Now, the thing is, I should pause here. This is not a gotcha show, and that's not what we do.
No.
You know, we're sometimes snarky about different politicians and ridiculous people in the news. But with regard to the guest interview, I've never really... I mean, I'm thinking right now, this is episode 204.
Mm-hmm.
We've had probably 240, 50 guests. I've never yelled at anyone or been, I think we try to be critical about issues, I've never really tried to be critical of a guest.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I could do that with J.H. Trumbull and his book, Where You Are, including the line, some rules are worth breaking.
Since we're both educators, I don't think we can have the conversation without getting triggered.
Right.
So I don't think it's worth it someone else can certainly interview and obviously has, and have this conversation. But since we are both educators, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation and not be triggered.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I should have J.H.
I don't think you should.
Maybe I should get the book.
Maybe. Although I feel like we already know what it's about and what happens.
Yeah, but maybe some rules are worth breaking.
It's just all kinds of ah.
Jody and I are much more articulate than this, except when presented with J.H. Trumbull's follow-up to the critically acclaimed Don't Let Me Go, which I assume is about a president and an intern. I didn't read that one, but I'm just worried about abuse of power.
Yeah.
We should be very clear right now and pause. This isn't about age, although it kind of is. And it's certainly, as Jody said, not about sexual orientation.
No.
This is about an abuse of power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And under no circumstances will I root for them. And that's
no.
a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
And J.H. Trumbull, you might be the best writer ever. I'm not rooting for the teacher.
No, me neither.
I'm not rooting for the teacher. No. I might root for the student, but he's not the one in power.
No.
So that's Robert Westfall, whose life is falling apart, but is about to get better with his math teacher, Andrew McNeils. Now, maybe what happens is they hold off until school lets out, and then he graduates, and then they get together. Are you okay with that?
It's still a little sketchy.
Yeah, I think it's a lot sketchy.
Yeah,
a lot sketchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Happier news, in Illinois, an Illinois House committee, they could vote this past Tuesday. We are looking to see if they vote. All right, we're recording on Tuesday, so I'm making it sound like it was today. But they could vote today, Tuesday, on a measure allowing same-sex couples to marry. Chicago Democratic Representative Gregory Harris. His name is Greg Harris. I don't know why I just called him Gregory. I felt it was more formal. It's amazing how I change stories sometimes as I'm reading them. I've known Gregory for years, and I refuse to call him Greg. Representative Greg Harris, it might be Gregorian. I don't know what Greg stands for. He said he expects the House Executive Committee to approve his legislation and send it to the full body. The Senate approved the measure earlier this month with Democratic backing and a single Republican vote. Advocates for giving same-sex couples the same marital rights as heterosexuals acknowledge there's more resistance in the House than in the Senate, so this might not be good. But they're confident of House approval in the next 2 weeks. A House okay would send the matter to Democratic Governor Pat Quinn, who has said that he will sign it. I keep going back to the book.
I know.
I tried to move on to another story, but I'm on the book. Hey, in the superhero world.
Yes.
In the superhero world, Wolverine. You know Wolverine.
Yes, I do.
Do you know Hercules?
I think so.
Okay, Hercules, he was an Avenger.
Yeah.
They might be superheroes with a lot of world saving on their hands, but that doesn't mean that they don't have time for a steamy embrace every now and then. Wolverine and Hercules share a gay kiss in an issue of Marvel's Extreme X-Men, according to comic book news blog Bleeding Cool. The alternate universe, polyamorous characters from parallel dimensions, and not to be confused with the much beloved Wolverine or Hercules featured in other Marvel comics and storylines, they embrace, by the way, this is my favorite line, they embrace in issue number 10 while crusading against foes. So I don't know if there's a pause in the action.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hold on, Magneto. I must kiss Hercules, but it happens mid-stride. More and more in the comic book world, more and more comic book shops have decided that they will not be carrying the new upcoming line of Superman comics because Orson Scott Card. Were you an Orson Scott Card reader?
A little bit, and then I stopped.
Why did you stop? I've never read any Orson Scott Card.
I stopped being as engaged in his writing.
Okay.
And then I found out a bit more about him.
I didn't know anything about him. We talked about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago on the show. I didn't know that he's like a total National Organization for Marriage guy.
And
he's got a big movie coming out. Ender's Game, which I guess is his big thing. And Harrison Ford is in it.
It is a great story. That is a great story.
I would imagine that there's going to be protests coming up of the movie,
possibly,
given who he is and what he puts out there.
But it is a pretty incredible story.
All right.
Yeah. And in terms of sci-fi canon, it's a big one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read it because apparently he's a bad man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. In Uganda, I've been there twice. The Uganda tabloid Red Pepper published, I remember seeing Red Pepper out and about. They published the names of supposed gay recruiters in their Sunday edition. Top Uganda gay recruiters busted, reads the front page headline of the Sunday Pepper. By listing names inside the pages, the paper is repeating a move from 2010, when another publication put several Ugandans in harm's way fearing for their lives after their photos appeared on the cover. If you do not know, and if you listen to the show, I don't know how you missed it, homosexuality is already illegal in the African nation, and LGBT people are routinely attacked there. The nation's parliament is debating a harsh anti-gay law, known internationally as the Kill the Gays Bill, that could include a death sentence for some crimes. Publishing it in papers.
Wow.
Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana. That took me a second. He's the governor of Louisiana, and he's in the news right now because they have this whole sequester thing going on. Have you heard about this?
No.
Basically, if Congress doesn't come together and passes some budget measures, then budgets are going to be cut all across the nation, and tons of services will be lost. And the governors are all together this week in D.C., and they're saying, hey, look, we don't have the power to change this, but you guys need to get together and fix this.
Yeah.
Except for Bobby Jindal, who people are saying he's already campaigning for 2016, which, gosh, we just got out of 2012, folks. But a lot of op-eds are saying the GOP needs to embrace gay rights. Bobby Jindal is saying, no, they don't. They don't need to do that. He said, quote, look, I believe in the traditional definition of marriage. We lost the 2012 election because we didn't present a vision showing how we believe the entire economy can grow, how people can join the middle class. We're an aspirational party, and we need politics that are consistent with aspirational private sector growth, which is unbelievable because there is not a researcher out there who does not articulate that the GOP on social issues lost because they're so separate from the rest of the country.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to stake your claim in gay marriage right now, Republican Party.
No.
The tide is a-turning.
Yeah, rather.
And you're not going to be too strong on that.
Uh-uh.
So, all right. We got a jet for a quick music break, and then we'll be back to finish the show. All right, folks, Jody had to jet, but I am not quite done with you yet. A little bit more LGBT news to throw out at you before this week's episode, episode number 204, is done. We're turning our attention to Texas, which is interesting because on next week's show, we will continue our series of These 50 States Are So Gay by focusing on the Lone Star State of Texas. But for now, a little teaser, a Republican state representative from Cook County, he wants to, this is how he has decided to spend his time, theoretically, and I haven't looked this up, people elected him. I don't know that he was appointed. And so people elected him, and he sat and said, people elected me. This is how I am going to spend my time. He wants to cut funding for school districts. Now, that's not good, right? We don't often hear about that. I teach my students that education is that one issue that cuts across all political boundaries. Nobody cuts funding for school districts. This guy does. He wants to cut funding for school districts in Texas that offer benefits to the domestic partners of employees. Last year, the Pflugerville School District became the first in the state to offer domestic partner benefits, extending them to both gay and straight domestic partners. Representative Drew Springer. That's Representative Drew Springer. This week, he filed House Bill 1568, which would reduce a school district's health care funding by 7.5% if they offer domestic partner benefits to anyone other than an employee or a dependent of an employee. And this is what he said in his quote. I would like to remind you before I read the quote, he wants to cut funding for school districts for this reason. Quote, our tax dollars are for educating kids, not for enacting policies that attempt to get the state to recognize homosexual relationships. To think Pflugerville has sued the state for more funding while at the same time bankrolling a lifestyle most Texans do not agree with is quite disturbing to me. Jonathan Sains, the president of Texas Values, which you guessed it, is anything but, it's an anti-gay group. He said, quote, this bill is a clear message to every Texas school district. If they mess with the Texas Constitution, it will cost them dearly. You are perhaps expecting some sort of deep, nuanced critique from me, Ken, who's been doing this for a long time. I don't have it. I really don't have it. This is a guy who wants to cut funding for schools that so desperately need funding for this reason. So people who have questions about the bill, they can call him, Representative Springer. I encourage you to do so. You can call him at area code 512-463-0526 or email him at drew.springer@house.state.gov. www.tx.us. You can also find him on Facebook and Twitter. But yeah, this is how we are approaching school funding in some states. So we will focus on that next week. But that's just appalling. Yes, it's a clear message to every school district. You can be targeted and your children's education can be targeted for reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with your children's education. And by the way, this whole if you mess with the Texas Constitution, it will cost you dearly. What Wild West rhetoric is that when we're talking about school districts that desperately need funding? That's just, yeah. Turning our attention to Albany, a bill in Albany would protect, see, this is more on the positive side. There are positive stories out there. A bill in Albany would protect gender identity and its expression from discrimination and subject violators to a potential hate crime prosecution. Gender identity would be added to New York state law that already prohibits discrimination based on race, religion, age, sexual orientation, and more in issues of housing, credit, employment, and others. This measure has some powerful Democratic sponsors, which could be enough to narrowly carry the bill. I wish it wasn't narrowly. Versions of the law have been pushed for years by gay and transgender advocates who won the landmark law legalizing same-sex marriage in 2011. The District of Columbia, 16 states and several cities already have laws protecting gender identity and expression. We will keep our eyes on New York. Turning our attention to Minnesota. Oh, I'm sorry, Jody had to leave because we got to talk about Minnesota, her favorite state of all the states. I don't know that, but it is her wife's state. A national group. So, Let's recap for a second. In Texas, we have Representative Spanger. Was that his name? Springer, sorry. Representative Springer, who is spending his time and money. I'm sure he's spending money on taking away school funding. In Minnesota, our good buddies at, you guessed it, the National Organization for Marriage, they said they will spend $500,000. Do you know how much that is? That's a lot. $500,000 to defeat Republican lawmakers in Minnesota who vote to legalize same-sex marriage. This is what they're spending money on. It's not, you know, we're going to spend $500,000 to restore the funding that Representative Springer wants to cut, but again, to defeat Republican lawmakers. The National Organization for Marriage, they issued this warning this week. They previously contributed more than $2 million to last fall's failed campaign to ban same-sex marriage in the Minnesota Constitution. Not $2 million nationwide. It was $2 million just in Minnesota. Yeah, so there are likely to be bills to legalize same-sex marriage introduced at Minnesota's Capitol this coming week. The National Organization of Marriage said that it's going to be, quote, career-ending. It's going to be career-ending for Republicans if they vote in this way. But, you know, lest you think that this just targets the bad Republicans, according to the National Organization for Marriage, they have said on the positive side, and you have to wonder if this isn't as positive as the National Organization for Marriage gets, they said they will also financially support Democrats who vote against legalizing same-sex marriage. So it's really, it's something for everyone. It's something for everyone. That's not a bad thing. There was a school district. There's a whole story out there, and you guys can go look it up, about this kid had an anti-gay t-shirt, and the school said, you can't wear an anti-gay t-shirt here on this anti-bullying day. And then they went to this kid and his family went to the ACLU, and the ACLU said, look, we don't support what's on this t-shirt, but this is freedom of speech. And according to freedom of speech, people can wear whatever they want. And I have such a reaction to that story. I kind of felt like, yes, I get it. It's freedom of speech. But we're also talking about the strong connection between anti-gay rhetoric and other kids' safety. And so insofar as someone promoting anti-gay rhetoric is perhaps, you know, unequivocally connected to some students feeling unsafe in school, I don't know. I kind of feel like that in some way trumps free speech, but I also recognize that that's an extraordinarily touchy subject, so not covering that in depth, but just wanted to throw that out there. There is a great op-ed over on advocate.com where I find so many great op-eds. It's called I Was a Gay Boy Scout, and it's a great piece just detailing this author, Ian O'Brien. He's the Youth Activist Network Coordinator for Advocates for Youth. He coordinates the Great American Condom Campaign and the D.C.-based International Youth Leadership Council, working to expand, engage, and mobilize domestic youth activists around young people's sexual and reproductive health and rights globally. And he's got a great piece there on advocate.com called I Was a Gay Boy Scout. So go check that out. And that about wraps things up for episode number 204 in our fun series of This Show Is So Gay episodes. We're going to keep on going. We love your feedback. Send it on over to Ken at thisshowissogay.com. If you have guest ideas, we work so hard to get the guests that you want on this show, but we are not mind readers. Those are not powers that we have. So you got to send an email on over to Ken at thisshowissogay.com and say, hey, look, this is who I want. And if it's someone local and someone doing something cool locally, we can throw them into our series of These 50 States Are So Gay, or we could feature them separately. We just want to feature people that you have heard about that you may not have heard about, because there's some folks doing amazing, amazing work. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com and you can learn all about the fun things happening. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes there on thisshowissogay.com. It makes your listening experience that much easier because it automatically downloads and you don't have to be thinking about, oh gosh, did I download Ken and Jody this week? I can't remember. Well, iTunes will do it for you. That's the wonders of technology. And of course, go to the Facebook, well over 4,000 people joining us in our So Gay dialogue over there. So go to Facebook, type in The Show So Gay and like us there. Get out there, folks. Go do some incredible things. Go put together a film festival. Go meet with your high school's GSA. Don't just show up, though. They don't like that there at the high schools. Contact someone and say, hey, do you guys have a Gay Straight Alliance? And can I find out what they're doing and if they need any support? They could use your support. They might not even have one. You should know if your local high school has a Gay Straight Alliance. If they don't, you could be integral in starting one. And another one, Brattleboro is amazing. So for folks who don't know, I'm in Brattleboro, Vermont, southern Vermont. And I'm really fortunate to be in this area. It's an extraordinarily LGBT accepting community and very, very fortunate. And shout out to our good brothers and sisters there, our fun folks up in Bellows Falls who are listening, up on Wool, and of course down in Northampton. We love our listeners down in Northampton who are listening to our show on WXIJLP Valley Free Radio. Shout out Northampton. But, so yes, extraordinarily accepting community, but you know, Brattleboro, they don't have a P flag. There's no P flag here, no parents, friends of lesbians and gays, and that is not to say that there are not parents and friends of lesbian and gays here in this community. So if someone's listening in the Brattleboro area, that might be something that you might want to start, because it can be really helpful to parents and friends of lesbians and gays. I debated doing it, but I was told by a loved one, perhaps you're spread a little bit thin and maybe not add another thing to your plate. And I begrudgingly agreed. So somebody else, start a P flag here in the Brattleboro community. That's it. Those are things that you can do, but there's a million other things you can do. You just got to figure out how to use your voice the way you know how to do it to get the voices of your LGBT brothers and sisters on the table. Get out there, folks. Use your voice. And of course, while you're out there doing these amazing things, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
I had lilacs outside my room. I had a little blackbird whistling me a blackbird tune. I had conkers swinging high in the chestnut trees. I had enough honey for at least 1,050 bees. I had butter, flies and cups everywhere. I had a little cornfield with scarecrows and crows to scare. I even had clover, three leaf and sometimes four. But what I had back then, I'm afraid I don't have any more. 'Cause big bulldozers cut through my rolling hills. Men with suits and cell phone ears put concrete on the daffodils. And gold in the milk, diamonds in sugar, stirred it up with bribery. Old Mrs. Brown couldn't turn them down. When the developers came to tea,
Mrs. Brown, it's the developers here. Will you let us in right now?